This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. What if I told you the globalists are on defense? What if I told you that the people that are trying to end borders, end nations, they're actually losing? We explore that idea together as we reflect on the G7. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program and our mission to reach millions of young people, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing to reach young people with the truth about freedom, liberty, and our country. I want to thank George for supporting us from Arizona. I want to thank Tweed from Texas for supporting us. Thank you. Molly from Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you. Molly again from Jacksonville, Florida. She helped us out twice as a monthly supporter. How awesome is that? I want to thank Alicia from Nebraska. Thank you. I want to thank Jeffrey from Minnesota. Thank you. Dustin from Wisconsin. Thank you. At charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we just had the largest ever young conservative women's conference in the country, go to tpusa.com. The globalists are on defense. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals instead of diversifying what you really need? Did you know it's easy to move out of an old 401k into precious metals like gold? That's predicted to go up $2,500 an ounce soon. This could be the answer for you, so call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month and they'll give you a gift of a free 22-karat American Eagle coin. Just mention promo code Kirk. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. We just finished our Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas, our Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit with over 2,500 young women leaders from across the country. It was incredible to see this many 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20-year-old young conservative women gather around the idea of saving our country, of being a strong conservative on their high school or college campus. These young conservative women were coming to Turning Point USA for training, for some for inspiration, some for clarity about their thoughts, some for friendships that want to be made. And if you have lost hope in the future, I encourage you to go to tpusa.com and see for yourself the amazing success that we had this last weekend. And just a shout out to our amazing events team, Lauren and Tyler and the entire team at Turning Point USA. It was unlike anything I have ever seen the movement pull off. 2,500 young conservative women. Kaylee McEnany spoke, Candace Owens spoke, amongst many others. And a common theme throughout the conference was this new conservative movement is going to stand for America, the nation. And that this new conservative movement is going to stand that this is our home and we're not going to apologize for it. Happening on the other side of the world in the United Kingdom was the gathering of the G7. So you had 2,500 young conservative women in Dallas talking about American exceptionalism, talking about the Constitution, talking about the need for a revitalization and a recommitment to the Constitution. Some might call it a constitutional reset. When in Cornwall, in the United Kingdom, they were talking about a great reset. Now, the G7 was covered by almost every single mainstream paper. And I spent a couple hours last night reading everything people had to say about it. Now, usually and typically, I'm sort of uninterested in when these world leaders that agree on almost everything get together and do these fake photo ops, and they actually have kind of a dystopian tone to them. We could pull up some of these photos on the live stream. Their NATO picture was just so creepy, where they had everyone kind of with masks on about 30 feet away in front of this Megatron screen in the new NATO headquarters. And so they had two meetings. There was a G7 summit, and then there was a NATO meeting. Not exactly sure the logistics or the – I'm guessing they planned them to overlap. Turkey's Erdogan was there. Why Turkey is in NATO is a complete – it's very bizarre. That's a different podcast for a different time. And so I noticed something as I started to read these stories and I started to read the coverage of this. And I started to watch Boris Johnson's speech. And let me just say as a side note, probably the greatest disappointment of any Western leader in the last 20 years is Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson will never be Winston Churchill. Boris Johnson won't even be Neville Chamberlain, because at least we remember Neville Chamberlain, even though he was terrible. Boris Johnson is weak. He's a metropolitan liberal. He does not stand for the greatness, the history, the legacy of the British people or the British customs. And Boris Johnson just kind of meandered around the G7, hunched over, looking almost defeated. So the first takeaway from the G7, of which Joe Biden clumsily represented our country, was that it felt as if there was a collective sigh of relief amongst the people that were running the G7. Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson, Angela Merkel, amongst many others. There seemed to be this sigh of relief. Donald Trump's gone. We can now talk about a borderless agenda. We now can talk about homogenized tax rates. No more do we have to sit around a table with that famous picture of Donald Trump next to Abe from Japan, with Angela Merkel with both of her hands on the desk staring at him, saying, "Why don't you let us have the pipeline? We need the pipeline quickly." And Donald Trump says, "Nope, sorry, we'll see what happens." Made the Germans very mad. Das Angre. No more of that. Instead, it seemed as if this was kind of a, we got it done. Everyone around the table, the G7, agrees on basically everything. Justin Trudeau agrees in a borderless society. Justin Trudeau thinks that climate change and global warming is the largest existential threat facing man. Emmanuel Macron wouldn't dare disagree with that because it would require testosterone, of which Emmanuel Macron does not have very much. And so this kind of seven world leaders, at the first reading, it seems as if they won. At the first reading, it's like, Donald Trump's not there anymore. The bad guys won. So there's Donald Trump and Abe and Angela Merkel saying, "Das Heil Pipeline. We need the cheap gas now." And Donald Trump says, not so fast. Thanks for playing. Who else is she surrounded with? Abe, of course. Well, John Bolton, you can get rid of that guy. John Bolton was probably scheming on how they could invade Venezuela at that very moment. And Macron, who, of course, was playing backseat driver to Merkel, of course. So on the first reading, it looks as if these guys won. It looks as if the Johnson, Trudeau, Merkel, Macron, Biden collusion, that they're on top. But in reality, when you dive deeper into what they talked about, the tone of which they talked about, these fellas that are trying to run the Western world are actually a little bit deflated, nervous, and anxious. So let me first say the obvious, which is what some of you are thinking as you're driving right now. What do these people want? What are the Merkels and the Macrons and the Trudeaus and the Bidens? What is their goal? So there is this marriage between the ideologues that want something that they consider to be a form of utopia, and then the power-grabbing Napoleon types that want the kind of forced homogenization for power. And some of them, let's just say Justin Trudeau, who looks like Fidel Castro. That's all I'm going to say. Let's just, I'll stop and start there. Canada and Cuba have had very close relations in years past. That's all I'm going to say. Justin Trudeau, educated in the top universities on the planet, he actually believes that famine, destruction, war, and struggle is all a symptom of borders. Justin Trudeau actually thinks that he's on a moral crusade, that as soon as he destroys national sovereignty, as soon as he gets rid of any form of tariffs or practices, Justin Trudeau thinks that he is going to be the ambassador that will usher in a beautiful tomorrow where no one drives cars and we all ride bicycles and drink vegan milk and whatever he thinks is going to be the success of tomorrow. There's the other side of people that are much more Machiavellian. But what if I told you that the globalists, the people that met at the G7 summit, that there was almost this collective sigh of relief, but also this collective, we're not winning. And they're not. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove to you that the Macron, the Merkel types, they're actually on defense and they're losing.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, "How'd you hear about us?" section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
This last weekend, we had our Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit, all about bottom-up organic energy. And meanwhile, that was contrasted with the top-down G7. Now, the G7 is a meeting of seven member countries, which include Italy, the United Kingdom, France, Canada, Germany, Japan, and the United States. I think I got them all. And in this meeting, typically they talk about, this is their mission statement at the G7. It's right off their website. Leading the global recovery from the coronavirus while strengthening resilience against future pandemics. Might be helpful to challenge China. Promoting future prosperity by championing free and fair trade. Tackling climate change and preserving the planet's biodiversity. And championing global shared values. Those are their big goals. So there was discussion and there was back and forth. And let me just reinforce the point that I was making, which is that some of the members of this globalist push, they actually think they are on the right side of history. They think that a destruction of sovereignty and a assimilation of nations will be an end to death, famine, destruction, war, and struggle. They think all of that is a symptom of this idea of a nation. Now, the idea of a nation that has its own ability to self-govern, an independent judiciary, and hopefully the rule of law, is something that is a phenomenon that has really grown after World War II. Now, many of these leaders at the G7 have been trying to push a sales pitch to try to have the world forsake any sort of local affiliation and instead try to insert themselves into a global identity. You are not a Brit. You're not a Scot. You are not French. You are not Italian. You are not German. You are not Canadian. You are not American. You are a citizen of the world. Now, Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron, in particular, they seem to have a soft spot for this sort of argument of the end of borders and the end of nations, because hanging over their head is a misinterpretation of history, because they are told that the horror, the suffering, the destruction, and the evil of World War II was because of nations. And in reality, it was actually large in part the opposite. Instead, it was punishing Germany after World War I, as many historians believe that was a disproportionate punishment, and instead of not having some form of a plan or a package that could have kept Germany as a normally governed country, it almost created the conditions for an evil movement to then follow. And so what Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron and Merkel believe deep down is that this idea of local governance, this idea of loving your nation and loving your people, your customs, your history, your tradition, actually has created the war, the suffering, and the destruction of the 20th century. And an honest reading of history shows us the complete and total opposite, is that when people are actually able to have self-determination, when people are actually able to make the choices that best benefit their own customizable customs. For example, maybe they don't want to all of a sudden ban oil and natural gas in the southeast region of Germany, otherwise known as Bavaria. Maybe France wants to be able to have stricter immigration. They should be able to customize their policies based on the conditions that surround them. And this sort of ushering in of an internationalist order actually creates more conflict than will prevent conflict. And the leaders at the G7 know that, and that's why they were wrestling with how best to continue. You see, from the United Kingdom to France to Germany in particular, Canada, and now the United States, unfortunately, they really didn't make a very compelling argument for the forced entry into a borderless world. And in the next segment, I'm going to show you and demonstrate to you that this is already happening here in America, that this demand, this hunger, and this appetite to be able to have this self-determination is where all the energy is going.
Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then by selling your valuable data. But you don't have to give big tech website access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. When I use ExpressVPN, I'm anonymized anytime I go online, and your presence will be hidden, including your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's even more is ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone and computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN that I trust at expressvpn.com/Kirk. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Kirk, expressvpn.com/Kirk.
Of our countries now want us to focus on. They want us to be sure that we're beating the pandemic together and discussing how we'll never have a repeat of what we've seen, but also that we're building back better together and building back greener and building back fairer and building back more equal. The people of our countries now want us to focus on. They want us to be sure that we're beating the pandemic together and discussing how we'll never have a repeat of what we've seen, but also that we're building back better together and building back greener and building back fairer and building back more equal and more in a more gender neutral and perhaps a more feminine way. How about that?
A more feminine way. And I'm now announcing I'm Boreena Johnson, and I have changed my sex. And you should too.
Charlie Kirk here. That is Boris Johnson, who might be the greatest disappointment of a Western leader in recent times. He calls himself the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. I don't even know if he thinks that's a thing. I'm going to walk into that. You can email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And check out charliekirk.com for the latest news and information. We are going through in great detail the G7 and how the globalists and the people that wish to remake our world using the Great Reset are actually losing despite their best efforts. Despite trying to crush the soul of small business with the lockdowns, despite the mandatory vaccination push, despite the clean energy push, despite the push of the genderless type society of Boris Johnson is trying to push, they're actually losing. And they know it. They know it because of the blundering lack of direction, as you heard from Boris Johnson. I don't even know what that was. Was that a speech at the Oxford Union or in front of the G7? More feminine, how about that? Yeah, that'll get the act. That'll get labor off your back. For those of you who don't know, Labor Party, which is makes Bernie Sanders look like a moderate in the United Kingdom. But despite the emphasis by all of these leaders on a global assimilation, the trend actually shows the opposite. You see, as you look at that picture of the seven people sitting around that table, their power is actually weakening. It's not strengthening. Their power is actually more in the hands of local control. You see, the trend right now is not saying, you know, Boris Johnson, Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, and Joe Biden, do more in my life. The trend is actually do less, and I want somebody else to represent me. Somebody that I can see, somebody that I know, not someone who's in some far distant land. The front page of the New York Times says, though rifts persist, unity returns to the G7. Of course there's unity at the G7. These particular leaders all agree that we need to have a sunset of the borders, a sunset of barriers, and the beginning of something rather unprecedented. And so the trend in America, for example, is the following. The trend in America is exactly what's happening around the world, and I'm going to start here. America's mass migration intensifies as refugees flee blue states and counties for red ones, by Chris Dorsey from Forbes.com. And the numbers speak for themselves. Millions of people, for example, California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, and Illinois combined 4 million residents left. California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Illinois, 4 million people left between 2010 and 2019. Resulting in a 5 million increase in Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio, and Arizona. So just in America, because that we have a system that where the states created the federal government did not create the states, we're seeing this trend and we're seeing it accelerate. And the same is happening across the world. Across the world, as we see here already, this micro trend of the blue states to the red states, we're seeing this happen where, despite the aggressive push by Johnson and Trudeau, Macron and the G7 and NATO, people actually want to govern themselves. In a very interesting turn of events, Boris Johnson is trying to reassume the mantle of King George that America originally separated itself from. The New York Times writes, Boris Johnson's global Britain makes shaky start at G7 summit. You hear that? Shaky start. People aren't buying it. They write in the New York Times, with an idyllic view of the Cornish coast as a backdrop, Prime Minister Boris Johnson had an unmatched setting in which to launch his dream of a global Britain. It's funny. The last time a prime minister had a dream of a global Britain was during imperialism. Is that now what they want? They now want an imperialistic type view that we want global control? But as Mr. Johnson drew the Group of Seven meeting to a close, Brexit and the pandemic conspired to cloud its debut. Brexit, led by my friend Nigel Farage, which was a people peaceful uprising against this sort of trash. The issue dramatized the long shadow of Brexit, casting its shadow on Mr. Johnson's effort to rebrand Britain as a vital player on the global stage. Not only did Northern Ireland, which is where a lot of the struggle is, poison Mr. Johnson's talk with Emmanuel Macron of France, but also threatens to undermine his relationship with President Biden. Mr. Johnson found himself at a news conference on Sunday dodging questions about a four-week delay to reopen and an ugly clash with the European Union over Northern Ireland. You see, how can Boris Johnson and Macron and Trudeau possibly make the argument to make the planet assimilate if he can't even convince the people of Belfast? If he can't even convince the people of Belfast to join the United Kingdom and with it the European Union, well, Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, with it the European Union and the intricacies of that debate, how on earth is he going to be convinced the people of Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania to join this sort of mandated global reset and experiment? Now, just so we know what we're talking about here, I want to play a tape here of the Great Reset put forward by these very people. Do we have that tape? I don't know what number it is. Let me try to see here. Make sure I... Cut 18. This is a promo clip on how we need the Great Reset to recover from the 2020 pandemic. Now, some of this is better if you're watching on the live stream. Hopefully, you're watching on Rumble, RUMBLE.com. But play tape.
Recovery from the pandemic is an opportunity. We can see rays of hope in the form of a vaccine, but there is no vaccine for the planet. Nature needs a bailout.
You don't want to go back to the status quo that you had before simply because it was the status quo that got us here.
With everything falling apart, we can reshape the world in ways we couldn't before. Ways that better address so many of the challenges we face.
And that's why so many are calling for a great reset.
Why would we want to go back to the status quo? I mean, borders, come on. Why would we want to go back to that? You see, the belief that we must live in a one-world government is a sinister idea. You see, having local control, being able to have more of a say in how you live, is actually a hedge against global totalitarianism. Sovereign, locally chartered nation states serve as a healthy barrier against that form of global totalitarianism. The very same that Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau, and Emmanuel Macron want to bring in. So in America, we know that trend is happening. We know people are moving from blue states to red states. Thank goodness our founders and the greatest document, political document ever written, the Constitution of the United States, gave us that freedom. In fact, the founding fathers wrote extensively about the freedom to travel as a citizen, which is why I believe the no-fly list is an unconstitutional measure. I believe that if you are on the no-fly list and you have not been indicted for a crime and you can't find out a way to get away from it, the founding fathers wrote extensively about that. Freedom of movement of people. Different topic for a different time. But despite all of this, what if I told you that the amount of countries in the world is increasing, not decreasing? If Boris Johnson can't even get Northern Ireland in order, how on earth can Boris Johnson get NATO in order? The founding fathers were so brilliant, and this is Thomas Jefferson even more than James Madison, I gotta say. Thomas Jefferson would be standing in applause right now. Because he was an anti-federalist. He was very keen on allowing the most form of local control imaginable. And now, when you're trying to form a federalized standard of a government, of which the Federalist Papers were written, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton said there must be some ties that bind you together. I'm all for that. With that being said, the kind of micronations that exist within our nation, the states, have kept America so free and so successful because that contrast between them, the laboratories of democracy, as Justice Louis Brandeis would say, would keep this experiment going. Now, just in the last 15 years, we have 9 new countries: South Sudan, Kosovo, East Timor. We now have North Macedonia, Palau, Eritrea. In 1993, of course, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And the trend is more countries are applying for sovereignty rights from the United Nations, or they're just self-segregating themselves. Segregating is the wrong word. They're self-identifying them. They're identifying themselves as a nation. And you look at the list of countries, despite all of this push, in the face of all the energy, the trillions of dollars, the list of countries on the planet since World War II has gone from nearly 84 to well over, at the last count, 195 nations. People are demanding more representation locally, not less. And this kind of creepy, dark, mandated global tyranny is losing. They get all the attention. They get all the headlines. But Biden, Trudeau, Macron, Merkel, and Johnson, 5 out of the 7, because Italy and Japan actually have a little bit of a disagreement with the way this all has gone, and they've reflected that in recent elections. Those 5 out of the 7, they know they actually don't have the momentum. They know that people are now demanding and self-affiliating with things they can control, not some far out distant land to give up their sovereignty to Brussels or Boris Johnson or to NATO. And that trend is healthy and will actually prevent war.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and Mike Lindell. And I know a lot of you want to support Mike Lindell and saying, Charlie, how do I support Mike Lindell? Here's how you can support Mike Lindell and our program, Combo Package. It's my slippers. That's right, you heard me, my slippers. They are the most comfortable slippers I've ever worn. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these, designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. My Slippers are so comfortable that you will want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. Use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. Just go to MyPillow.com, buy a bunch of stuff, and use promo code Kirk. That's basically the long and short of it. If you want to support Mike Lindell and Charlie Kirk, be comfortable, sleep well, MyPillow.com, purchase a bunch of stuff, promo code Kirk. God bless America.
In the face of trillions of dollars and a global agenda, there are more countries than ever before. There is actually less war than ever before. And it's largely because, not thanks to this global experiment, because that's actually going to bring in war and bring in conflict. It's because we're trusting more people to be able to have the ability to govern themselves. And inevitably, certain countries are going to mess it up, obviously. Certain countries like North Korea are going to be tyrannical. But also, you're going to have the vast majority of those countries make rational decisions in the best interest of their citizens. And that's the whole idea of sovereignty, is that if you want to prevent war, you want to increase the amount of control that people have over their lives. You want to know what starts war? When you start to eliminate nations. When you start to take over nations and you mandate that they must live a certain way, that creates unrest, that creates upheaval, that creates dissent. And a nation, and especially leaders, should be tasked with the mandate of benefiting their people and their nation and their best interests. And Johnson, Macron, Trudeau, and Biden are less powerful than any other time, and that's a good thing. Look at Brexit. Look at the pushback against this sort of assimilation agenda. There are more countries in Europe. We now have North Macedonia, Kosovo. In fact, we have Montenegro. There are sovereignty movements happening all across Eastern Europe. And that sort of trend stands completely against what their desired objective is. People are demanding local control over their finances, their customs, their religion. And that is actually going to have people trust the land where they live, not all of a sudden have anxiety and distrust that there's some sort of deceitful and treacherous game being played by the masters of the universe. And this is all contrasted to why we had our bottom-up Young Women's Leadership Summit happening in Dallas, Texas. That's where the energy is, where our Young Women's Leadership Summit is. Let's play, just really quick, Judge Jeanine interviewing one of our young women at Cut 12. So how about she comes from a Hispanic family, and she's kind of pushing back against the narrative. Cut 12.
Really staying connected and really, like, focusing on what we believe in and not getting distracted, not caring what people say about us has been really, really important to us, and learning that, like, by one person can change. You know, it's like we are part of the Hispanic community, and honestly, it's hard. Our family does not agree with us with everything.
Family does not agree with us on everything, but we're still thinking freely. That is a huge contrast through the mandated thought police of what the losers now want. And I want to just reinforce that. The energy and the momentum and the future is in the freedom, the liberty to govern oneself, to educate your children the way you see fit, to be able to deny mass vaccinations if you choose, to be able to say that we want to be able to have English be the official language of the United States. France is even now slowly and quietly using self-sovereignty as a way to say we want the French language to be preserved. We want the French culture to be preserved. Italy is doing the same, and so is Greece. In the face and defying the globalist power, the globalists are now on defense. That's a positive thing, because you would have thought 10 years ago they would have more support and more obedience, when in reality the fault lines are more clear than ever. The structural issues that NATO and the G7 and the UN are trying to put forward shows that those of us that want to be able to protect your right and your moral right to be able to control your future is growing. And that also shows why the school board meetings are now being filled. People want to have a say in what they can control. And the future will be determined by people that actually seize it.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.